Good morning to you. We are wrapping up our series on abiding this week, and hopefully this has been of some help to you. We talked about that abiding has multiple facets to it, and sometimes you may wonder, you know, hey, I think you mentioned that. Why do you mention that again? Well, it's kind of like the alphabet. You know, you just have to keep repeating it sometimes in order for people to get it. I've lost words there. So anyway, so the things we're looking at, reorienting, receiving, relating, rhythms, and reproducing. So reorienting, what is reorienting about? Just, this is pop quiz. You thought, I never thought we'd get one of these in church. Well, now you do. So what is reorienting about? Do you remember? It's about a path. It's about a path. You have got to switch the path you're on, to reorient your life, to get on the path of the way of Jesus. If you don't do that, then you won't experience abiding in your life. Or receiving. With receiving, what's the... Your identity. Your identity in Christ. You know, being in Christ changes everything. So, you know, you've got to work on that. What about relating? What allows you to grow in your relationship with Him? Do you remember that? Living in and under the Word of God. Living in and under the Word of God. And then last week we looked at rhythms or habits. You know, you develop good habits, and then God uses those habits to develop you. And that's what we want to do. This week we're going to focus on reproducing. Reproducing is about the result of abiding, the result. Reproducing has to do with, these are the results that will happen in your life if you will live a life of abiding. So we're going to look again at the words of Jesus. He says this, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. We're good? Making sure we're here. As we said before, abiding means several things. It means to remain, to dwell, to continue, to be at home with. Everybody is at home somewhere, okay? It's not like, you know, people don't abide somewhere. It's not like, you know, you're not abiding. Everyone is abiding somewhere. What God does is He invites us, abide in Christ. If you want your life to be different, if you want the different results, abide in Him. And that's what we want to look at. What you find is this, when you abide in Christ, God assumes the responsibility for the fruit of your life. God will assume the responsibility for the fruit of your life. You see, the results of abiding, if you were to sum it up in one word, it's fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. So fruit is the direct product of abiding. In fact, there again, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Fruit is the thing with God that he wants to provide in our lives, that he wants to do that. And he assumes the responsibility. I want that to sink into you. God himself will assume the responsibility for the fruitfulness of your life, both in your life and through your life. He will assume the responsibility for your fruitfulness if you choose to abide in him. You will never, and this is a key point for us, men and women, you will never be old enough, you will never be mature enough, you will never be wise enough to produce fruit by yourself. It just doesn't happen. And so if you're thinking, you know, well, one of these days when I get to this point, then I'll become, no. You will never be old enough, wise enough, or mature enough to produce fruit on your own. You have to learn to abide. So the more you grow in your life in Christ, you know, when you think about it, you think, okay, what is this fruit about? Well, the more you grow in your life in Christ, the more you begin to take on characteristics of your Heavenly Father. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You begin to take on those characteristics of God. And what you find is God has caused that. God causes that fruit. You also find that the more you grow in your life with Christ, the more you produce others who develop those same kind of characteristics. That also comes from God. God causes that fruit. Now, sometimes there's the discussion, okay, when we're talking about fruitfulness here, is God talking about fruitfulness in our lives, like we're producing the fruit of the Spirit in our life? Or is he talking about fruitfulness like other people coming to know Christ through him and other people, you know, learning how to really walk with him? Well, they're not in opposition to one another. I mean, so if you're wondering, is it this or this? The answer is yes. They're not in opposition. In fact, what you find is the more you produce, the more that God produces the fruit of the Spirit in and through your life, the more he'll be working in your life to produce that in the lives of others as well. One of the things you see, like in Romans 1:13, Paul says to the Romans, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far so that I may obtain some fruit among you, also even as among the rest of the Gentiles. Now, what Paul's not saying is, you know, I'm hoping to come there, and I'm hoping to visit with you so that if you really annoy me, you can see how patient I am. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, I want to come there so that I can see some of you Romans come to know Christ, even as I've seen amongst all these others. So fruitfulness means both. It's both. Now, why don't people bear fruit? I mean, why is that? Jesus' answer is very simple. You don't abide. If you abide, he takes the responsibility for fruit in your life. So what are some of the things that we have to overcome in our life if we're going to live a life of abiding, if we're going to bear fruit? What are some of the things we have to overcome? Well, Jesus mentions those in a parable in Matthew, and he says this. He told them many things in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they had not much soil, and they sprang up immediately because there was no depth of soil. But after the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. But others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times as much. The one who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came up and said to him, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus answered, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you shall keep on listening, but you shall not understand. You shall keep on looking, but shall not perceive. For the heart of these people has become dull, and their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. Listen then to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes along and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the seed that is sown on the beside the road. The one sown with seed in the rocky places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he's found no firm root in himself, and it is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution occurs because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one sown with seed among the thorns is the one who hears the word, and the anxiety of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown with seed on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30 times as much. So Jesus points out three problems that we have to overcome if we're going to bear fruit. The first one that he talks about is stolen seed right there, where he says the evil one comes and snatches away because they don't understand. And so if you want to work to preserve that to where you don't have stolen seed, what you have to do is you have to meditate on the word and learn to live in and under it. And when you do, what abiding does, abiding keeps the seed from being stolen in your life. When you begin to meditate on God's word, when you begin to live in it, when you have decided in advance, I'm going to live under it, I'm going to do what it says, what you find is the seed is not quickly stolen from your life. The second one is shallow seed. There he said, he who has no firm root in himself but is only temporary, when affliction or persecution occurs because of the word, immediately he falls away. Have you ever known someone who started off really well walking with Jesus and then kind of goes off? You may think, yes, me. You may think of something in yourself. You may think of someone else. You may think, yeah, you know, I do know people like that. Here's the reason right here. That's what he's talking about. When he looks at that, he says the problem is they don't have enough roots. They don't have a root system. So abiding, what that does, it lets roots go down deep into the soil. What you find is as you begin to get on the path of following Jesus, as you live out of your identity, as you live in and under the word of God and begin to build disciplines and practices in your life to really help you to walk with him, what you'll find is that as you do that and you do it in community where you help one another, you help each other to really put down roots in your walk with God. And as a result of that, you know, you really begin to thrive. The last part is the choke seed. There he says, the anxiety of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. You know, the anxiety of the world that he's talking about there, there's an anxiousness that arises in daily life, especially when you try to live life, you know, without reference for God in your life. When you try to live life just in your own strength, in your own power, there's an anxiousness and anxiety that builds up. The deceitfulness of riches that he talks about there, you know, money always overpromises and underdelivers. If you haven't noticed it, just live a little bit longer. I mean, it's easy when you're younger to think there's not many problems that another $100,000 wouldn't solve. But as you get older, you find out actually that creates more problems sometimes. It's just not really the problem solver it seems like it would be. So abiding, what that does, it reminds us of who God is. It reminds us of how he really rules and what's really valuable. It gives us perspective that we need. So to overcome all three of the things that would keep you from bearing fruit, you have to learn to abide. Abiding is the key to every single one of those and overcoming that. Now, what happens is this a lot of times, guys, when people don't abide, then they start trying to figure out, okay, what's another metric? What's another way? What's a substitute for, you know, trying to figure out maturity, for trying to figure out, you know, fruitfulness in their life? One of the ones they come up with a lot of times is knowledge. And they'll just think, oh, you know what? My goal is I am going to be so knowledgeable. And they think that knowledge is actually maturity, when in actuality, it can really take people off track from maturity. There's a helpful illustration. Let me show you this illustration here. And as you look at it, let me tell you a little bit. This came from a guy named Francis Chan. And Francis says this about this illustration. He says, God wants groups of mature believers who show the world supernatural love for each other. The love component of church is non-negotiable. The road to maturity or Christ-likeness involves continual growth in intimacy with God. Humility, holiness, faith, hope, power, love, joy, peace, and so on. Along the path to maturity, we lead others, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that God has commanded. But many never reach maturity because they never lead others. Some refuse to lead while others spend their lifetime believing they aren't ready. They prepare themselves, they take classes, they read books, they dig into sermon after sermon, believing that this somehow means to grow in maturity. But this is where the great deception begins. Rather than staying on the path of maturity, which includes increasing in knowledge, they take a different road which focuses primarily on obtaining knowledge. While they are increasing in knowledge, they are not growing in humility. While they are filling their minds with information, they are not emptying themselves for the needy. They aren't leading others by living life with them and modeling the fruit of the Spirit. And as a result, we have people who see themselves as mature because they know so many things about the Scriptures, but their lives look nothing like Christ. The chart shows you that you can actually be a further distance from maturity if you continue up the road of information without growing in love. Now, men and women, I don't know about you, but as I look at that chart, I think, you know, that's kind of scary. You can just take a diversion and you can think, oh, I'm doing good. Man, I know so much. Good night. I can answer Bible quizzes right and left. I can just, you know, astound people with my theological information. And you can do all that and you can be a long ways off from really learning to abide and really learning to be different, really learning to mature in Christ. When Jesus, by contrast, when Jesus wanted to show us characteristics of people that were his followers, he mentioned three things. Three things. The first one is this, continuing in the word. We looked at that a few weeks ago. John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Another way of saying that, if I were Jesus, would be, you continue to listen to and learn from me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, guys, continue to listen to and learn from me. Now, to continue in his word, to use the words of this passage, to continue in his word, it has two ramifications that we looked at several weeks ago. You need to learn to live in the word, and you need to learn to live under the word. You live in the word, actually getting it into your life, and you live under it. You submit your heart and life to it. Let me tell you the bad news on this one. Knowing how to live in the word does not move the needle. It's only moved as you actually live in the word. So for some of you, there again, it goes back to the information thing. You've looked at it and you thought, oh, I know how to do that. Quiet time, I know how to do it. Scripture memory, I know how to do that. Meditating on the word, I know how to do that. Hearing God, I know how to do that. It doesn't matter. That will not move the needle. What moves the needle is you actually beginning to do it, actually beginning to put it into practice. So the first characteristic, continuing in the word. The second characteristic, loving others practically. Loving others practically. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said this, a new commandment I give you, that you are to love one another. Even as I have loved you, so you also are to love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, a lot of times today, we kind of equate love with this feeling, you know, like, you know, oh, I feel so much love over here, or oh, I love this person, or whatever. In the New Testament, what you find is it's that we choose the will, we choose by the will the good of another above our own. That's really what love is about. We choose the good. It's kind of like parents with kids, where, you know, if for those of you that have never been parents, take this by faith. It gets worse when you're grandparents, okay? So I'll tell you that. But, you know, what you find is you'll see them go through something and you'll think, oh, if I could go through that so they didn't have to go through that, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I would do it right now. But what you find is, you know what? That's not possible. But yet you try. You know, I mean, you really work hard. That's the kind of love that they're talking about. And Jesus did that for his disciples. He says, you are to love them as I have loved you. I'm sure as the disciples heard that and thought about it, they thought, how did he do that? And let me just give you quickly a few ways that Jesus did that. One, he accepted people over and over. He affirmed them. He saw them for more than they were right there. He served them. You know, he met very practical needs. When the people, you know, had dirty feet, he washed their feet. When they were hungry, he fed them, you know, met practical needs, served them. He befriended them. You see him doing things here, like going to weddings, you know, going over to their house, going and doing things with them. He befriended them. He corrected them. You know, a lot of times we think, is that a good thing? Yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, have you ever just figured out, you know, like walk into some place, you know, and you, you know, thought, oh my gosh, I wish someone would have told me that I was like this, or I wish someone, you know, maybe they should have mentioned I had a, you know, head of lettuce in my teeth or something, you know, I wish they would have told me, you know, well, you know what, correcting's a good thing. He met needs. He met very practical needs in their life. That's another thing he did. Forgave. This is a key component of friendship. If you have friendships that you want to last more than about 30 minutes, one of the things you have to do, learn how to forgive. In all of these things, this is what Jesus said. The second characteristic of a follower of his is we love others practically. And the third one that he mentions is the one we've been looking at a lot here, which is bearing fruit. He says in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. In abiding, what ends up happening is we do three things. We remember who he is, we remember who we are, and we remember what he has for us. We remember who he is and that we remember he is the one true God. He spoke and everything came into being that is in being. He also loves us deeply and he has made a way for us, irregardless of our rebellion, he has made a way for us to come into a relationship with him. That's who he is. And then we remember who we are. We remember we've received this new identity. And as we've received this new identity, we are what the Apostle Paul calls in Christ. He mentions that like over 150 times. And what he says is your identity being in Christ, growing into the person that he has said you are, redefines everything in your life, redefines your relationships, redefines your goals, redefines everything in your life. And then we also remember what he has for us, which is fruit. What he has for us as his kids, he has things for us to be and he has things for us to do. And all of those come into being as we began to do that. So the third thing he wants us to reflect and reproduce the character of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but as I think of these things, these three things that Jesus points out, I mean, you know, they're not like, you know, you need to learn these 45 theological principles or you need to, you know, read all these books. It's not all those things. It's those three things. And I think the beauty of those things is, you know, anyone can do this. Anyone can do this. I mean, how old do you have to be to begin to live in and under the Word? You know, not very old. How old do you have to be to begin to practically love others? Not very old. How old do you have to begin to reflect and reproduce the character of Christ in your life? Not very old. Anybody can do these. But you know the other good part about these? They're life objectives. When will you finish any one of those? I mean, anybody here that's gotten to the point where they think, man, I'm pretty much done living under the Word. No. Or how many of you think, wrapped up loving people last week? Yeah. No. You know. Or how many of you say, honestly, if I got any more fruitful, they'd be boxing me up and sending me all around the place. You know what I mean? Honestly, it's just, you know, I mean, I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? I'm just so fruitful. You know. No. These are lifetime objectives, but at the same time, you don't have to wait to get started. Anybody can do this. All three characteristics that Jesus mentioned are tied to or born out of a life of abiding. Every one of them. I'd like for a minute for us just to look at the blessings of abiding. The blessings. Jesus said this in John 15, 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. As you look at this passage right here, Jesus points out four great benefits of abiding in him. The first one he says in verse 7 right there, he says, prayer is answered. You know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. It'll be done for you. As you abide in him, as you really do all of the things we've spoken about over the last 5 weeks, as you do those things, he says, you know what? Prayers will be answered. Verse 8, he says, God will be glorified. If you ever wonder, how do I glorify God in my life? learn to abide in Christ. Learn to abide in Christ. Third thing in verses 9 and 10 right there, he says, you will have a life that is motivated by love. You will have a life that is motivated by love. Great benefit. Great benefit. And then in verse 11, he says, you will have joy in abundance. Now, some of you are thinking, I don't need any more joy in my life. I mean, honestly, I've got so, no. I don't know anybody there yet either. You know what? All of those benefits, Jesus says, those are available to you. And all you have to do is abide. Now, I've got a good friend who says this. Everyone wants a testimony. Nobody wants to pay for one. I think he's right. What he's really saying is this. Everyone wants the result. Nobody wants the process. Everyone wants the result. Nobody wants the process. What I've seen, friends, is this. You know, Nick Saban, now, I'm not a Nick Saban fan per se because he's at that other university, but he's at that one Alabama, used to be. He just retired. But he also retired with many rings on his hands from national championships. And when they asked him about it one time, they said, wow, how do you do that? How in the world do you, you know, produce so many championships? And Nick Saban said this. We have goals, like being national champions, like being conference champions, etc. We have goals, but we don't focus on those. We focus on the process. You focus on the process and you'll get to the goals. If you focus on the goals, you'll miss them altogether. I think he's exactly right. What you see in the Christian life, the goal is that we would reproduce in our own lives and in the lives of others the character and the life of Christ. What you find is the process of abiding allows you to do that. You focus on fruit, you'll miss it altogether. You focus on the process of abiding, you get it all. But you've got to focus on the process. Remembering, God assumes the responsibility for our lives, for the fruitfulness of our life, if you abide in Him. So, what do you need to focus on to abide? I want us to just recap what we've talked about the last few weeks. First, you focus on reorienting, getting your life on the path of Jesus, learning to walk in His way. That's what you do. Secondly, receiving, accepting and living out of the identity that He's given us in Christ. Third, relating, you learn to live in and you learn to live under the Word of God. And remembering again that it's, you know, knowing how doesn't move the needle one bit. It doesn't change anything. If you know how, but you don't do it, you have to do it. Then rhythms, developing the habits and disciplines that God uses to develop you. You need to do that. And then lastly, reproducing, watching in awe as God assumes the responsibility, for the fruit of your life, both within and without doing that. So that's the process. Now, what about next steps for you? Well, first next step I would suggest for you would be take the next step for you in the life of abiding. I'm not sure where you are in this, but I would take the next step. Or another one might be take the next step for you in the process of abiding. Or the next one might be take the next step for you in the process. You think, I'm getting a clue here. Yeah, it's kind of like the alphabet. If you repeat it enough, maybe people get it, you know. I mean, you know, take the next step for you in the process of abiding. If you need another couple of them just because, you know, you're thinking, I've got to have more. I've got to have three. Pick up a book from Brother Lawrence on the way out. And this is the last week to get those, by the way. So pick one of those up, and then you can begin to kind of soak some of that in and figure out a little bit more about how do you make that a daily practice of just abiding. You know, look at that. The other part I tell you, if you're interested in, you know, how can I work this into my daily routine? How can I work this into my life so that I can make this a reality? So this isn't like so many other messages I've heard where I think, that's good. I'm going to go home now and forget this and come back next week to be inspired to do something else I'm going to forget. Instead, if you want to really work this into your life, then why don't you note that on your communication card? Say, hey, you know, I might be interested in a group this summer to maybe work on some of these things, and I'll see if I can find a group for you, and we'll figure that out. Next week, we're going to be launching a new series on making the most of your life. I'm excited about that. We're going to be looking at different aspects of life in the kingdom from a kingdom perspective. And I would tell you this, though. The first key way to make the most of your life, learn to abide. Learn to abide. Excuse me. Learn to abide. It makes all the difference in the world. So let me pray for us, and we'll invite the worship crew back up. Father, thank you for the privilege and the gift you have of you assuming responsibility for the fruit of our life. As we don't have to fret, we don't have to strain, we don't have to actually try to figure out how in the world would we get to the very goal that you have for us. We don't have to do that. All we have to do is focus on the process of abiding. And you take the results out of our hands, and you produce those yourself. We are so very, very grateful for that. Would you help us not to be so foolish as to hear your word and then just not do it? But would you help us to be wise enough to take it and put it into practice and have the foundation of our life centered on you and what you've said? And we pray those things, Father, in Jesus' name.